Thank you, Brother Temple. Isn't it good to be in God's house? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the dunamis, the dynamite of God. That's what the gospel is. It's the dynamite of God. You remember the old timers when they were clearing land, they didn't have bulldozers in those days. And those persimmon sprouts and post oak trees were everywhere, brush timber and brush country. And the way they cleared that land was with dynamite. They dig a hole under those, cut the tree down and dig a hole under that stump and then light that thing and run. And I'm gonna tell you, that dynamite would blow those big old stumps out of that ground. You could hear it from a mile away, bluey, you know, and out came that big old stump. Well, Paul said that's the way the gospel is. Amen. When we release the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know it can blow stumps of sin out of people's lives as big as a post oak tree. Bluey, bluey, bluey. Have you enjoyed the service tonight? All the good singing. Hallelujah. We even had a little bit of shouting tonight. Somebody said you folks haven't got any right to be doing that shouting. So that's just emotions. I said, if that's the case, you haven't got any business loving your wife. That's just emotions. But God made us emotional people. You know that? That's the way we're made. And I'm going to tell you something. I minimize feeling as far as salvation is concerned, because you know as well as I do, you can feel wonderful on Sunday night, be totally saved. You can feel horrible by Tuesday night and still be totally saved. Attitude check. Oh, I learned something after church this morning. I said you can feel terrible by Tuesday night and still be totally saved. But the other side of that coin is if you've missed the feeling part of this thing, you need to go back for another dip. The Apostle Peter said it's joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. It just feels so good when Jesus pulls that stinger of sin out of our life. And all of a sudden we are released and we feel clean and we feel free and we feel like we want to shout a little bit. Praise God. Thank God for the wonderful power of the gospel of Christ. Thank the Lord for those beautiful songs. I tell you, if I could sing like Dwayne Temple or these ladies that sang the solos tonight, I'd sing all the time. Wasn't that beautiful? If I had a voice like that, Let's give them a good hand. Praise God. Amen. They bless me. Now, I'm going to tell you what you folks would have to wake you up. You'd have to go to the little old church I go to when I'm not preaching, my home church up in LaGrange, Texas, where there's about 15 of us. And nobody there can sing. They know music. Man, that music tonight and this morning. If you had to do that for two or three services, you'd come back here and you'd be shouting like my wife almost did. Amen. She got plumb happy this morning, didn't she? Now, I'm not going to let her do nothing tonight. Because we need to get over them hamburgers. Amen. And no telling what she'd do after all that pretty singing. Don't forget to keep that pastor on your prayer list. I don't know if I've ever told you this before, might have, might not, but when you're the called of God and placed as the shepherd, the under-shepherd under Jesus, over a flock of God's people, the burden of this church and concern for this church is on the pastor's heart every waking moment of his life, either consciously or subconsciously. I don't know where he and Carolyn are tonight. They might be at the church in Crockett, probably preaching over there somewhere in that area. But I don't care if he's preaching in another church. he's wondering what in the world's going on here. What is Jack Lenny doing to that church of mine over there? I'm going to tell you, there's a concern and a burden that he carries continuously. Brother Coons, there's no way I'd be pastor of another church. You cannot realize what a release it is. When God released me, of course, the Lord always, he retired his priest at 50 years of age in the Old Testament. And because they carried that load, that burden of his people. And it's just there. And when you're, of course, I wouldn't be a pastor. I should never say I wouldn't be anything. If God dealt with my heart, but I would sure have to know it was him. Because, you know, when you get at my age, you don't carry those kind of burdens. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You need to hold him up and lift him up. God said, esteem him. The Holy Ghost said in the 5th chapter, 1 Thessalonians, esteem that leader very highly for the work's sake. Not because he's a good preacher, not because he visits us every week and every day, but for the work's sake. Esteem him very highly. Galatians 6:6 said, let him that's taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. So bake him a pie. He sure don't need it. But just bless him. You know, any way God's blessed you, you bless it. Share it with him and bless him. And it just, you know, if he gets puffed up, God will unpuff him. God's in that kind of business of unpuffing preachers. He's an expert at it. He knows how to do it. And so he told us, though, to bless him and to love him and to pray for him. And so hold him up high. Come on, help me here tonight. I'm going to have some more attitude checks. I'm going to be careful with that word. Bless these sweet young people. I'm proud of them, I'll tell you that. They're not sitting back there on the back bench chewing gum, throwing spit wads. They're right up here ready to shout for the preacher. And you don't have to jump up and holler, sold out. Watch it die. All you got to do is get with me and say amen, preacher. Amen. Get with me and stay with me tonight. Pray for me. I remember Brother Renaud used to tell us young preachers, you know that was a long time ago. He said, if your sermon doesn't merit an amen, for heaven's sake, don't ask for one. I told him years later when I was a little braver and working with him, I said, that's false doctrine, Brother Renaud. I said, if there's a time I need an amen, it's when I'm not doing too good. So if you see me sweating up here tonight, and I probably will, a little bit, but you just start scotching for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got to score some points for the pastor. Amen. Amen. We're substitutes. Come on. And we're going to do something for Jesus here. Our over shepherd tonight is watching and ready to help us. He's right here with us. And he came here to be a blessing to those that are in attendance at this service. Did you see how I danced around a little bit? Did pretty good, didn't it? Not willing, but I did it. I'll tell you one thing. If I could go back, I wouldn't go back a day. I'm getting close to home, brother. Amen. I've learned some things down the road that are helping me. I'm just glad I'm right where I'm at. And I'm just as content as I can be. One of the nice things about being close to Alzheimer's age is I can hide my own Easter eggs. Nobody says anything. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. Isn't Jesus good to us? The sweetest life in the world. Sweetheart, if you keep it real short, please, darling. Just say I love Jesus or something like that. You know, Well, we used to sing that old chorus, God can do anything, anything but fail. I believe that, sweetheart. I agree. A little bit on my sermon there. Turn with me in your Bibles to the 15th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Begin reading with the 21st verse, Matthew 15, 21. I won't keep you very long. When I told the church in La Porte where I'd pastored for 17 years, back in 1969, I told them, I said, Jesus is sending me to the district office. They just voted me in. Brother Fox, the song leader, stood and said, what a friend we have in Jesus. Let's sing it. Remember Brother Fox, Kathy? Kathy's brother used to sing with my boys in a little quartet that went all over the South Texas district, traveled with Brother Akers, singing those wonderful gospel songs. And so I know her dad and mom, they were in my church. This sweet girl here is not able to play that saxophone today. We missed it, Kathy. Begin reading with the 21st verse. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet, or it's not right, to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I'd like to preach tonight for just a brief time on the subject of faith and determination. Faith and determination. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege we have of assembling once more in the wonderful name of Jesus. And we know you're here with us tonight. We know, God, we sense your wonderful presence. We ask you to have your way. There might be some in a deep valley in this very service. And we ask you, Lord, to reach into their hearts and lives through these truths that's in the gospel. We ask you to reach into their hearts tonight and pull them out of the miry clay. God, put their feet on that rock. Like David of old, who said, when my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. God, have your way in each of our hearts and our lives tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you imagine tonight what this poor lady must have been going through? She was not a Jewish lady, she was a Gentile lady. And her daughter, the scripture says, was at home vexed of a devil. And with the experience that most of us have had in the enemy of our soul coming into our lives and affecting our home and affecting our loved ones and affecting our city and affecting our neighborhood, we see the evil that he can conjure up. There's just no telling what this little lady was going through with, because the enemy had taken charge of her daughter's life. And she was vexed with this devil. And she, the lady had heard about Jesus, who was over in the land of Canaan, in the land of Palestine, the Syrophoenician lady, and she came and found Jesus and pleaded with him and asked him, please, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus answered her not a word. Now, if I went to your house and I knocked on the door and I knew good and well you was in there, but you wouldn't answer, I might come back later and try it once more. And I might not. Because in a way that would drive anybody away. I doubt if most of us, if we knew people had snubbed us and would not even speak to us, that would be enough to make most of us avoid them and never try again. But there was something in the heart of this little lady that dominated her life at this moment for her daughter caused her to hold on, gave her that determination. And really, determination comes about from faith. It's faith in God that makes us really determined. That's what it is. It causes us to hold on and to try again. And so she came back again. And she cried. As a matter of fact, she went to the disciples that were there with him and began to cry after them. Please do something for my daughter. I need help, please. She's got to be helped. There's just no telling what that girl had been doing. And so she cries after the disciples, and they came to Jesus, and they said, run her off, said she's crying after us. Drive her off. And you know, if the first instance had not been enough to make the little lady give up and go back, most of us would, and the first time, would have gone back to that sick daughter and just made the most of it. But if the first time wasn't enough, when Jesus didn't even answer her, you say, well, why didn't Jesus answer her? Well, you know, Jesus doesn't have to give an account for what he does. I said he doesn't have to give an account to any of us for what he does. We don't tell God what to do. Our God is sovereign. And one thing I know, what Jesus did was right. You just well say amen. What Jesus did was right, whether we ever understand it or not. And that really needs to be deep entrenched in our life. That though we don't understand the things that God allows to come our way, what God does is right. And it's always for our benefit. It's always for our benefit. It was just to happen to be a particular period of time when they were still under the Old Testament law and the Gentiles were outsiders and Jesus was there ministering. He'd come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so he didn't answer a word. And this little lady kept pleading with him and pleading with his disciples. And finally, instead of taking care of it the second time, he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, that would have been enough that second time to make any of us give up. But she held on. Her daughter needed help. I said her daughter needed help. And so she just kept crying. As a matter of fact, she did something that is also a very important act that will help us when we're faced with these situations that we don't understand and we're faced with these situations we don't know what to do. Instead of getting mad and puffed up and going back home, the scripture said in the next verse, after Jesus said, I'm not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the Bible said she came and humbled herself and worshiped the Lord. I'll tell you, one of the most powerful forces in this universe is genuine biblical humility. It's one of the most powerful forces in the world. It'll do what all the brilliance and education and everything else put together can never do. Humility can turn the tide. I said humility can turn the tide. And you put those two together, humility and determination and persistence, and you put those together, you've got something that'll touch the heart of God. Instead of getting puffed up and getting mad at Jesus, she just came and bowed down and humbled herself. I tell you, the scripture said before, honor is humility. It's a powerful force that can work miracles for us. I'm not sure I know exactly what humility is. I've been preaching about it for years, and I doubt if I could adequately define it. I know what it's not. It's not timidity. It's not a certain tone of voice. You know, some people think because they talk humble that's humility. Well, man, the Bible says their words can be smoother than butter, but there can be war in their heart. I said it's not a tone of voice. Some people think that they can impress you with how sick they are by talking sick talk, you know. You know what sick talk is? It sounds like you're dying, you know. And they think they can impress you with their humility by a certain tone of voice. It's not a tone of voice. Scripturally, there's a few scriptural things about humility. One of them is, one scriptural identifying factor about true humility is a willingness to suffer in silence. Scripture said about Jesus, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. They tell me when they clip these sheep, if they happen to cut one, the sheep will just quiver. You never hear a word out of it. And that's the way Jesus was when he was crucified. He didn't condemn the people that were doing the crucifying. All he said was, Father, forgive them. I said one of the identifying marks of true biblical humility is a willingness to suffer in silence. Now Jesus called us his sheep, but sometime I want you know a pig's not that way. You just punch a pig and he'll that's right. You can just point your finger at him the next time and he'll squeal. Sometime I think we are more pig than we are sheep, don't you? But that's one of the identifying marks. Another identifying mark of real humility is the willingness to forgive. I said, it's a willingness to forgive. Amen. And I don't think there's anything in the world that'll help some of our Assembly of God churches more than to bury the hatchet. And don't leave the handle sticking out. But Jesus on the cross gave us this beautiful example of true humility. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so this sweet little woman just had to have help. When she humbled herself and she came there and she worshiped Jesus and pled with him, please God. And she said, I know it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. That's what the outside Gentiles were considered. As far as the Jewish nation was concerned, they were not part of the family, you know. And she said, I know it's not right to take the children's bread in a reasonable situation and cast it to the dogs, but said those dogs at least get to eat from the crumbs that fall from the table. And I'll tell you, that touched the heart of Jesus. You know what touched his heart was faith. It was that faith, that confidence, that caused her to humble herself and hold on. In spite of the rebuke and the rebuff that she'd had, she humbled herself and hung in there. And I'm going to tell you that same thing will work for us tonight. If we learn how, actually she was doing what Jesus taught us in the scriptures to do later on. You remember over in the 18th chapter of Luke's gospel, that chapter opens up with that first verse saying, men ought always to pray and not faint. And Jesus went on to describe how to hold on and not give up with the parable of the unjust judge. He said there was in a certain city an unjust judge, and this woman came to him and said, "Avenge me of my adversary." And he said, "No." And she came back, said, "Avenge me of my adversary." And he said, "No." And she came back. The judge said, "I don't fear God nor regard man, but this woman's going to bug me to death. I'm going to do something for her." And the purpose of that parable was that men ought always to pray or hold on, hang in there, keep praying, keep holding on, even when you don't understand, plead with God, and I'll tell you, God will do something for us. That men ought to always pray and not give up or faint. Hold on. In another place, he taught the same thing. She was just doing what he taught. You remember the man that came to his friend's house and knocked on the door late at night? And he opened the shutter and said, "What do you need?" And he said, "I need some bread." He said, "I've had some friends that have come." He said, "I need some bread." And the man said, "Go away." He said, "Me and my kids have already settled down to go to sleep. Go away and don't bother me." And you know what the man did? He knocked again. And finally, Jesus said, because he would not arise and give him bread because they were friends, but because of his importunity, the man will arise and give him as many as he needed. And I'll tell you, that's a 16-cylinder word, that importunity, but every Christian ought to know what it means. It means persistence. He wouldn't arise and get out of bed and give him bread because they were friends, but because the man kept knocking and kept knocking and kept knocking. The man said, "I've got to do something or we won't get any sleep." And so he arose and gave him what he needed. You dads and moms that have been going through things, you're not going to get an answer on the TV or somewhere else. You're going to get an answer at the foot of the cross, knocking and pleading, and they that knock, it shall be opened unto them. Just keep seeking the face of God. Hang in there. Persistence with faith and confidence that God hears us. Hallelujah. We're not scoring a point here tonight. Come on, help us. Amen. You remember old Elijah up on the mountain? I mean, they were in a drought, Brother Dudley. They were in a drought. It hadn't rained in a lot longer than what we've gone through. And that old prophet sat down and put his head between his knees and began to seek the face of God, that God would send some rain. How many thank the Lord for that nice rain we had today? Amen. And he sent his servant, said, "Go look and see if you see any clouds." "Nope." "Go again." Elijah prayed and "Go again." "Nope." Elijah prayed again. Came. "Nope." Elijah prayed again. "Nope." Elijah prayed again. "Nope." Elijah prayed again. "Nope." "No clouds." Elijah prayed again. "Nope." "No clouds." Elijah prayed again. That little servant came back and he said, "I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand." Old Elijah jumped up and ran over to Ahab, said, "You better saddle up." What are you talking about, Brother Lenny? I'm talking about hanging in there. Our pastor, Brother Longmate, over at Centerwood, many years ago, I got to visit one Wednesday night. It was about the only time I got to go to my home church. And he was preaching on faith. And he said God had laid it on his heart to write a book that had 365 pages, one page for every day of the year, and to put three words on every page, the same three words, a book on faith. Hang in there. 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 Doesn't look good, does it? I said, doesn't look good right now, but hang in there. They're doing everything you're pleading with them not to do. Hang in there. Looks like they're going the opposite direction of what you're praying. Hang in there. They're doing things you never would have dreamed they'd do. Hang in there. Keep praying. Keep seeking the face of God. Hold on. You touch the heart of God in His time and His providence, He'll move some of those mountains. Nearly 40 years ago, God gave me a promise. It was that time when I was going through that awful time of sickness, when I thought I was fixing to die at any moment. And the only comfort that I got was from the Word, because we wouldn't even go to a drugstore for fear somebody'd think we was getting medicine. That's just how funny we were back in those days. But God was watching us. I said God was watching us. And God knew our heart. I guess God wanted me to check this thing. I was reading through the Word, and I saw the promise about my grandkids. You know, over in the Psalms, where God, when the devil was telling me I'd never live to raise my kids, and the Lord gave me that promise, I was going to see my children's children. And another evening, I was reading through, when I was thinking any step was going to be my last one, I was reading down through Job in the 5th chapter. I came to that passage that said, "You're going to come to the grave in full age like a shock of corn in her season." It cheered me up. I was just like the blood tonic there that afternoon. I didn't get healed, but man, it kept me going. The Word kept me going. Hallelujah. And another day, I was reading over in the book of Isaiah, and I came through that 55th chapter of Isaiah. And I came to this passage right here. You talk about distressed. I was so distressed. Does this work? Hello. I was so distressed. It felt like I was holding up the side of a building by myself. Depressed in the evening when it would begin, the sun would go down. I'd get so depressed, couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. And expecting to just kick the bucket at any time. I'll tell you one thing, folks. If you've never walked down in the valley of the shadow of death, you get a different set of values down there. That's a different world when you're facing the reality of death. And I was reading through the scriptures one evening, and I came across this passage over in the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, 54th chapter, where God said to me, it just jumped out at me. It's wonderful when the Word just reaches out and grabs you. And I read this, "O thou afflicted and tossed with a tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncle and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children." You know, there's not a church in this world that heard me tell that promise that God gave me until just a little while back, when the promise was fulfilled. Because for those nearly 40 years, my wife and I walked by faith, holding on. It looked like they were going to do everything in the world except serve God. But I can report to this congregation tonight, all of my children love God with all of their heart. And some of them know more about this book than I know about it. They've been taught of Jesus. They've learned the right way to be walking. All of my grandkids love the Lord. And I guess those three little great-grandkids love God. I said, I can report to you tonight, God's a faithful God. When He says something, hold on to it. I don't know what you're faced with tonight. Some of you are faced with some serious things, no doubt. But what I would encourage you to do is to get a hold of something to hold on to. Get a hold of something in this book to hold on to. Say, God, give me something from your Word. Give me something that I can have, that I know is from you. I know it's from you. And I'm going to tell you, heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will not pass away.
It'll be there. Praise God. You talk about an anchor. This word will anchor your soul in those storms. And God will hold you. That's why I was saying this morning, get into the book. Let's renew that love for the book. Get back to the book. Feed on the word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't need their advice. I don't care if they've got DDT behind their name. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in it does he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season. Neither shall his leaf wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise God for this book. I said you're faced with things you don't know what to do. And the devil's sitting on your shoulders asking you why, when you've been trying to serve God with all your heart. Why are you having to face these things? I'll tell you one reason we're having to face them. It's because this world's not our home. And God wants us to know that. Set your affections on things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Praise God. And so that place has been sitting there too long, that hurt in one place, and you've prayed about it and it won't go away. Pray again. Amen. I said, pray again. Amen. Seek God again. Yes. Amen. I read where Jesus prayed a fellow that had an affliction for 38 years and God healed him. Yes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, I asked the Lord, what should we do during our altar service tonight? And I just kind of felt like we ought to pray as a family. We ought to pray for some of our folks that's going through a hard place. Physically, or they're faced with some kind of a trial or problem that they don't know what to do. We're living in a time when a lot of folks are having financial problems. Maybe your pocketbooks is full, but I know a lot of folks it's not. Maybe we ought to pray for some of our brothers and sisters that maybe are needing a little bit of lift, you know? Or some of them that have a physical need. How many believe in divine healing in this church? Hallelujah! He's a great physician! He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Nobody understands us like Jesus does. Let God have his way tonight. Let him touch your body. That nail-scarred hand touches you. He can heal the sick. Praise God. And over in Matthew it said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, and himself carried our infirmities and bare our sickness. You believe that? Say amen. Now let's stand together then. I can't find a place to quit. And we need the Holy Spirit to lead us now as we pray for our brothers and sisters that have needs in their lives. Listen to the Holy Ghost. How many feel with the Holy Ghost here tonight? Let's see your hand. Listen to him. He has a voice. We need ears to hear what the Spirit says. Listen to him. He might have a special message for us tonight. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Ask him to have his way in your life. Ask him to have his way. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Let the Holy Ghost lead you, brother. Dwayne, listen to the Spirit of God. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
All my cares upon